The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
He is Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and
up,
Jacoby.
Y'all.
What is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
We have a game 7 tonight between the Celtics and the Raptors. We have the Lakers taking a commanding lead over the Rockets. But we start with a real, actual, official, regular season NFL game last night between the Chiefs and the Texans. And the Chiefs looked great. What impressed you the most about the Chiefs last night?
That they have that guy right there, first and foremost. Where my homies? First and foremost. Second, that he has weapons all over the field. Kelce, Watkins, the Cheetah, Tyreek Hill, and your guy Clyde, the rookie in the backfield. They're explosive. But let's go to the sideline. Big Red gets his love in Andy Reid. All I know is this. Very soon, Eric B. need to be getting paid in full by an NFL team. Top dollar to be their head coach. Doing a terrific job nurturing that offense for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Absolutely. And you know that I've been talking about Clyde Edwards-Helaire ever since last college football season. And to see him land with the last pick in the first round to the Kansas City Chiefs, we all knew what was going to happen. We all knew it, and it came to life. 138 yards, 5.5 yards a carry, a touchdown. He just looked electric. We had high expectations for him, especially on this program, and he exceeded even those. The line did a great job opening up holes for him as well. What do you think he brings to this offense?
So, no shade to my brother LeSean McCoy, but before they picked up Fournette, I was like, for Tampa, their run game could be an issue. I was saying the same thing last year with the Kansas City Chiefs. And so all of a sudden, you get this guy after you win the Super Bowl and after he wins the championship in college. Talk about a marriage made in heaven and an offense that's going to get him the carries, get him the touches. They're going to be leading in games. His fantasy numbers are going to be crazy this season.
Well, we all wanted to see what the Texans offense would look like without DeAndre Hopkins, and it didn't look good. However, I'm looking at the offensive line and their lack of ability to protect Deshaun Watson more than I am the lack of DeAndre Hopkins. What did you see from the Texans offense poor performance last night?
I agree. And the one thing about not having a really effective offensive line, not only can you not stand upright with your quarterback and throw the football, you can't consistently run it either. And when you don't have that level of balance, and you mentioned how they struggled offensively, that is something that they're going to have to improve on in protecting Deshaun Watson. It seems like we've been talking about this for years as it relates to that team.
Yep. And we should discuss the receiving core, because when you look at their numbers from yesterday, outside of Fuller, they really didn't do much. I mean, Cobb, Cooks, Carter, not that much. Between all three of those players, 5 receptions. Jalen, is this going to be a problem for them moving forward?
Absolutely. I'm trying to tell anybody that will listen. You don't give up the top wide receiver in the game and help your quarterback in your offense. It just does not work that way. And so, yes, these are productive NFL receivers, and they're going to have their moments. And shout to Will Fuller. He played well. But you don't replace Deshaun. You don't replace Hopkins and his productivity. Watch how he and Kyler Murray put on the show this year.
They absolutely will. And one thing I want to say about those graphic and that stat is a lot of those came when Kansas City had a commanding lead and went to a prevent defense. Like, that is a misleading. Like, they really did not play well from the receiver position outside of Will Fuller. Moving on to another game last night. The Los Angeles Lakers put together a great performance, led basically wire to wire in this one over the Rockets. LeBron played well. AD played well. They also got other contributions from Caruso and Rondo. Jalen, is this team poised to go to the Western Conference Finals?
Now the Lakers are firing on all cylinders and have recovered from the loss of Avery Bradley. have settled into the bubble and figured out that they need to play different versions of their roster in order to advance in different playoff rounds. This is what I wanted to see. I've been calling to do different matchups, like, okay, more Kuzma, more Morris. Use LeBron up front as one of your bigger guys. Play AD at the five. It's okay, because you're going against a Houston Rockets team that has embraced micro ball. And you still have to prove to me that when you have a feast or famine, home run or strikeout style like the Houston Rockets, if that could consistently win in the playoffs. This is something that we've talked about for a very long time, Jacoby. That's why when they lose, it's ugly. And look no further than their best player, James Harden. Yep. We know that he's one of the top five players in the game, a consistent MVP candidate. But when you play that style, when they lose, that's when it looks ugly. The multiple turnovers against the Golden State Warriors, not showing up against the San Antonio Spurs, missing 27 threes against the Warriors without KD. That's what ends up happening. That's why I felt, especially once they lost house, that they weren't going to win another game. So the better team is taking care of business, and that's the championship contending Los Angeles Lakers.
It absolutely is. And as you see in these clips, they ran two people at Harden a lot in this game, as they had done sort of towards the end of games previously in this series, and it really worked well. He was 2 for 11 from the field. He did go to the free throw line 20 times, but still, it was another disappointing performance from Harden in the playoffs. But one thing that's been happening the last few games, Jalen, playoff Rondo is absolutely here. Now, not only is he a great floor general, every time he's got the ball in one hand, he's pointing to people, do stuff with the other hand, but they were backing off him and giving him shots. He was taking them and knocking them down. He had 2 threes. At one point, they just backed off him, gave him a wide open lane to the layup, and he just came in and took it. Rondo is really contributing for them, because if you remember during the regular season, when LeBron James was on the bench, they really struggled to create offense. And now they have Rondo, someone who they can plug in during those minutes when LeBron sits, and maintain a high level of offense. I think Rondo is going to be that third person for the Lakers that contributes in a way that we've always been waiting for Kyle Kuzma to do, or Danny Green to do, or KCP to do. That is actually going to be Rondo moving forward. Do you have them finishing this series on Saturday?
I do. I don't anticipate the Houston Rockets winning another series, and I'm going to acknowledge this again. I'm really disappointed in Daniel House Jr. You let down the league. You let down your teammates. Your brothers have come so far. They've gotten into the playoffs. And yes, the Los Angeles Lakers are the better team, and we're going to win this series anyway. But young fella, you got to make good decisions and be out on the floor instead of being in your hotel room watching your brothers get the brakes beat off of them by the Los Angeles Lakers.
I think there's no reason that Daniel House Jr. shouldn't be able to play. There's no reason he shouldn't be able to play. Yes, he broke protocol, but if he's negative for COVID, let the man play. But we move on. We both sort of conceded that it is going to be a Lakers-Clippers Western Conference final. We know on Monday we're going to start previewing it, so why not start previewing it right now? It seems like they have been on a collision course all season long. So, Jalen, Clippers and Lakers, what do you think of this matchup?
I like that we're just the most unprofessional national show in the industry, and we're going to preview a series before another one ends. That's why I love doing this for the last decade of my life. What I can't wait to see is the star power. I know LeBron and Kawhi are both going for finals MVP for their third team. So now, are we going to get all NBA AD? Are we going to get all NBA Paul George? Those guys are going to be the key. And then the depth and the scoring of the Clippers, Lou Will and Harrell, versus the Lakers. And Kyle Kuzma, Rondo, and Morris. It's going to be great theater. Both sides have terrific coaching staffs. Both have assistants that are in line for new jobs. This is going to be the theater and the stage that we anticipated. I just wish it was the NBA Finals. Hopefully one day the league decides to reseed the Final Four at least, so these two teams on a season like this could actually be facing each other in the finals.
Yes, I mean, this is such a great series. You honestly don't know how to win, but who's going to win? I have the Lakers winning because I just don't see anybody in a Clipper uniform that can match up with AD. Now, obviously, AD is one of the top five players in the league. It's hard to match up with him, but you've got Harrell, you've got Morris, Zubac. You're going to put Kawhi on him. Like, I don't know what they're going to do to match up against AD. I know you had the Lakers in this series, so if Doc Rivers called your phone and said, what do we do with AD, what would be your advice for him?
Well, for AD, you want to keep him on the perimeter. That's what you got to do. And you got to contest his mid-range shots, hope he's not making his threes, and then you got to make him work on the other end. You got to put him in pick-and-roll action, get him away from the basket against the Clippers. The Lakers will play a lot more big lineups. Imagine the fact that we got Lakers-Clippers, crosstown, playing in the conference finals, and each squad has a Morris twin. And both of those guys are acknowledged to be physical presences for their team. I just want to see if they find a way to get in each other's way and throw some elbows versus one another.
If I'm Doc Rivers, I'm just telling Morris to go out there and give AD an elbow in the first half of the first game. That's the only way that they can stop him. So we can stop talking about this hypothetical series that isn't even a series yet and focus on tonight's game 7, the two best words in sports between the Celtics and the Raptors. Jalen, what is the key to this matchup?
So the thing I've liked about the Toronto Raptors all year is they are what you can embody, the embodiment of a team. It's like when one guy coughed, the other person covered his face. That's how they play defense, smothering. Like, dead serious. I appreciate that about this team. And Kyle Lowry willed them to victory in that previous game. But this should be about star power. And Jason Tatum is taking that leap to all NBA level. Jaylen Brown is a terrific two-way player. Kemba Walker struggled in the last game. And Marcus Smart been balling all series. I think the Celtics will get it done. And I just wanted to acknowledge the Raptors for having a terrific season. Pascal Siakam wasn't the same player in the postseason that he was in the regular season, but he'll continue to improve as a young player.
I also have the Celtics tonight, but we also have a full slate of NFL games this Sunday. We'll get you ready for that right after this. Stay tuned. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby.
Don't forget, you can vote by mail. For more information, visit IamAVoter.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Got your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. It is time for the segment where Jalen decides what we discuss. It is Keep It Moving. If you want to discuss the game that I propose, say hit the brakes. If not, me and Method Man, keep it moving. Jalen, we start with Cam's debut in a Patriot uniform. Keep it moving or hit the brakes?
Hit the brakes.
Jalen, what are your expectations for Cam Newton this season with the Patriots?
Extremely high, lead them to the playoffs, proving doubters wrong, getting a huge contract at the end of this year. Y'all must have forgot this is a former MVP who just had to get healthy. Cam was about to get busy this year. And shout to the Miami Dolphins and their head coach, Brian Flores. I love the PSA they did pregame last night. It was really well thought out, well written, and well executed.
Absolutely. I felt the same way about that video. It was really well done. Moving on to the division that your Lions are in, the Packers and the Vikings. Keep moving or hit the brakes?
The Vikings better get Dalvin Cook paid and Aaron Rodgers going off this year. Keep it moving.
We keep it moving. We keep it moving.
We have a matchup between the Chargers and Joe Burrow and the Bengals. Keep it moving or hit the brakes?
I want to see A.J. Green have a bounce back year. And the Chargers, man, we got to see. They had a chance to get Cam. Keep it moving.
We keep it moving. We keep it moving.
Right. The MVP returns to the field, this time against the Browns. Ravens, Browns, keep moving or hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes.
Now, Jalen, we all know what Lamar Jackson is and how great he is in the field. I want to ask you about Baker Mayfield and the Browns. Do you think they can bounce back from the debacle that was last season for them?
Well, you started with Baker, and to be honest with you, I'm not sold on him being a top 15 quarterback. I do anticipate Odell Beckham having a bounce back year. I'm a huge Landry fan, and they have a lot of talent on their offense. But the Ravens, they are their deal, okay? And Lamar makes them play four down football, which changes the dynamic of how you approach an NFL team normally. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the Browns. I'll give you a prediction. After this season, you know who will be taking snaps under center in Cleveland? Cam Newton. How about that?
Interesting, Jalen. Interesting. Let's talk about that a little bit more. So you have Baker Mayfield and the Browns being so bad this year that they make a change at quarterback, and that change is for Cam Newton, who is on a one-year deal with the Patriots. You're going to predict that right now before the season even started.
Yes, indeed. Pieces in one big chess game. Yeah!
Interesting. Remember where you heard it first, Jalen and Jacoby. Moving on to the Bears against the Lions. Keep it moving or hit the brakes. Jalen, I want you and all the Lions fans to really enjoy this moment, because right now you are in first place in your division. Right now the Lions are undefeated and they're in first place in their division. First place in the division for the Lions. But this season, do you know what this season should be about? This is what this season should be about. Tua in a Lions jersey. But nope, you're not going to get that. You're not going to get Tua in a Lions jersey. Do you know what you are going to get? You're going to get Oduka, who you drafted after Darius Slay left. This franchise is so broken, it cannot be fixed. Right now is the only time the Lions will be anywhere near the top of the division. So enjoy it, Lions fans, before it all falls apart against the Bears. Sunday at 1 p.m.
Our offense is going to be moving up and down the field against that physical D. Watch.
Up and down the field? Up and down. Wait. I'm sorry. The offense is going to be moving up and down the field against the Bears. Okay. Nah. We'll revisit that on Monday. We'll revisit that
Eddie
Monday.
Eddie Jackson. All right, now. You can't be doing no Motown dances now when you out there making plays. You're one of my favorite D-backs. Not this week. All right, Khalil Mack. We need you to take your light on us now.
We will see. We have the Seahawks facing off against the Falcons. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Russell Wilson is that deal. So is Julio Jones. Keep it moving.
We keep it moving. We keep it moving.
DeAndre Hopkins makes his debut for the Cardinals against the 49ers. Jalen, what are your expectations for this Cardinals offense that a lot of people have set very high?
See, Cliff Kingsbury did a really good job last year developing Kyler Murray to the point where he played an entire season under the radar, continued to improve, and stayed healthy. And in the offseason, they brought back Larry Fitzgerald and then brought over DeAndre Hopkins. I'm anticipating that growth to be so pronounced that people are going to be so enthusiastic to watch how this young man is going to continue to grow under center and continue to show how guys that are less than 6'5" in prototypical height are still able to play that position. Russell Wilson is the guy, based on his metrics, is the one that broke down those barriers for modern day quarterbacks in a lot of ways.
I'm just curious if the Cardinals can contain the run offense of the 49ers, because the 49ers love to run the ball, and I just want to see if the Cardinals can do anything to stop that, because there's so many people talking about Kingsbury and Murray and Hopkins, and they deserve all the attention they're getting, but something tells me that they're going to get run all over on the other side of the ball this Sunday in the late game in the Bay. Moving on, Jalen, we have it. It is here. Two divisional rivals facing off, and one with a brand new quarterback named Tom Brady. Jalen, we have Drew Brees and the Saints going up against Tom Brady and all those brand new weapons for the Buccaneers. What do you expect to happen on this one?
All I know is this. I don't care what level of media or football fan you are. If I hear you say Tampa Bay, T-O-M-P-A, Bay, I am judging you. I can't even lie. I'm judging you. And you know that's my guy. Now, with that being said, once you add Leonard Fournette to go with Ronald Jones, now they eliminated their weaknesses. And Tom Brady is going to be just dropping back three-step, five-step, getting the ball out of his hands, throwing it in the numbers, outside of the numbers he's going to put on the show. But so are the Saints. And Alvin Kamara, he's about to go off this year. I can't wait to watch this game. Michael Thomas can't guard Mike. Been watching that dude do work since Ohio State. So these two teams, a lot of people anticipate have what it takes to make it to the NFC Championship.
We will see. I cannot wait to see the matchup between Tom Brady and Drew Brees. I think they're each going to score about 35 points. Jalen, Dak Prescott, the quarterback of the Cowboys, has been in the news. We'll tell you why and what we think right after this. Stay tuned. You're watching Jalen and Jacob. You got to give the people. Saturday night at 8 p.m., we have the Lakers and the Rockets facing off in Game 5. And before that, at 7 o'clock, NBA Countdown with Jalen Rose, Maria, and the crew. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, on Sunday night, the Cowboys will face the Rams. And Dak Prescott revealed that after the death of his older brother, he faced some anxiety and depression issues for which he sought professional help. What do you think about Dak Prescott's revelation?
These are extreme times we're dealing with in our climate, Jacoby. Millions of people losing their jobs, being laid off and being furloughed with quarantine, coronavirus, the murdering and lynchings and killings of black men and women by law enforcement, and the deaths of so many people, whether it's over 180,000 due to COVID-19, or circumstances that caused Dak Prescott's brother to commit suicide. And as somebody that recently lost his brother, I'm glad that he shared that. And he's garnering the strength that he's going to need to be productive on and off the football field.
Jalen, that is very well put. And as we see NFL action return to the field, seems like every year there's always a lot of focus on the national anthem and what the players are going to do during it. Last night, we saw a show of unity between the Chiefs and the Texans. There was a smattering of boos during it. What do you think you will see for the anthem, and what did you think of their display last night?
Oh, I'm going to make this quick. This ain't about civil rights and humanity. The players got reinforced that this is a business deal. Y'all there to do y'all jobs. The people that are there to watch y'all play don't necessarily care about our activism, don't care about our civil rights, and don't care about our humanity. So remember that the next time you ask us to sign an autograph.
We always say we give the people what they want, and part of that is doing podcast-exclusive content. Jalen, there's a lot to discuss. But on J.J. Redick's podcast, a gentleman by the name of Kevin Durant joined, and here's what he said about the choice that he made to join the Nets in free agency versus the rumors that he was considering the Knicks. He said the following quote, "I wanted to live in New York. I felt like Brooklyn was everything I'm about. Chill, on the low, all black everything, we quiet. Just focus on basketball. There's no show when you come to our games. There's no Madison Square Mecca, all of that bleep. We just gonna hoop." Jalen, do you think there's a stigmatism around the Knicks franchise that leads people like Kevin Durant to not want to go there?
Yes, that starts with the owner, James Dolan. There's no accident to where that starts and ends. And unfortunately for their fans, under his leadership, they've been one of the worst franchises in sports. But you know what else happens? Forbes each year comes out with evaluations on how much teams are worth. And you know the Knicks are constantly within the top two or three.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And right? Not only that. Within the top two or three.
It's not only that. It grows in value every year. They're terrible. The product that they put out is absolutely awful. Yet their franchise grows in value every single year. So everyone who's out here saying, oh, James Dolan should sell a team. James Dolan needs to sell a team. If I'm James Dolan, I'm making money just owning the team every single year. So why would I sell it? Unless you're going to overpay me. And no one's going to overpay for the Knicks because they look at the roster like, you want, wait, $3 billion for this? You want $3 billion for Mitchell Robinson? You know, it's just not going to happen. Also,
exactly. And also for a guy like him, whose father previously owned the team and the squad was a lot better, that level of ineptitude along with nepotism puts him in position to where the entire world feels like the Knicks struggles, especially for their fans, are something that they want to see changed. And they want to see better decisions made. And they want to see better play out on the floor. And they want to continue to get the bang for their buck because their ticket is one of the highest in the league. And so as long as he is having people throwing Charles Oakley out of the arena and, you know,
Spike
not finding a way to keep Kristaps Porzingis when he falls into their lap in the draft, as long as those type of things are continuing to happen and great players like KD and Kyrie decide to go to the Nets instead of going to the Knicks, the only thing that's going to change that is if they draft somebody that becomes a superstar or a young player right now that's ascending like Donovan Mitchell decides to go there. That's what changes it. Players now change it for their situation.
I've had the honor and the privilege of spending a very brief amount of time with World Wide West, but he is electric, and he could sell water to a well. You know what I mean? He could sell an air conditioner to an Eskimo. And I'm telling you that if there's any glimmer of hope, it's not on the roster. It's in the front office with the changes that they made with Leon Rose and World Wide West. Like that's the only glimmer of hope. Because if I'm looking at their roster and no shots at any of these great players, but I'm really looking at Mitchell Robinson as like the only real asset that I see on the team in 2 or 3 years. For real. Like that's
and
it.
And also, but here's the thing. I didn't need to go there because Leon Rose, I think he has a chance to do a really good job. I've seen agents out in Golden State, like Bob Myers, do a really good job. A former teammate, Rob Pelinka with Los Angeles, Arne Tellem, getting the Pistons moved from the Palace into the city of Detroit. Like, it can happen. I like bringing on my guy, World Wide West. For those that don't know, I coined that name for him. Scott Perry, who was retained as the GM, is family to me. He's also a Detroit native. I'm in contact with him very often. But the key has to be to fall back and let them do their thing. Not be in the summer of KD doing a local radio interview talking about, oh, we need to possibly see the medicals, or we may not offer him the whole max. Like, we don't need him sabotaging. We need him to go, just fall back. You know, come to the games with whoever you want to come to the games with and leave. That for real. Like, if that happens and he allows those people that you just said to do their job, then I think they can now go sell who they are to some up-and-coming free agents in the game and turn their situation around.
Absolutely. And Jalen, we didn't get to discuss this much on the show as we're running out of time, so I wanted to bring it up again. There was a display of unity that had nothing to do with the anthem, had nothing to do with the American flag, a display of unity. Again, I'm going to say it. A display of unity between the Chiefs and the Texans, and there were some boos. Now, I'm not going to sit here and act like all 17,000 people booed loudly, but there was a presence of boos during a display of unity that had nothing to do with the flag or the anthem. What do you make of that from the Kansas City fans?
Doesn't bother me at all. I didn't get a chance to talk about it on the television show. I know this is going to come up again, but let me just tell you one more time. Don't bother me at all. I'm happy that they did it. Happy that they did it. I'm going to continue to be consistent with this. I want people to be exactly who they are and not feel like they have to apologize for their feelings in private or in public. So if that's how they feel, that they don't care about unity, they don't care about civility, they don't care about human rights, They don't care to see black and white people unite out on the football field and hope that we start to get to a place where everybody feels and is treated equal, then that's on them. That's on them. But the great thing is nowadays, yeah, there are a lot of people that feel like that in corporate America, and they get up and wear shirt and ties and go to work and run a lot of companies and do a lot of hiring and firing. And, you know, they really pull the strings on who's where and, you know, these multi-conglomerates. But those people, when you're in the stands, I get a chance to see you now. I get a chance to see you now. And so, yeah, I'm Patrick Mahomes. I'm Deshaun Watson. They worth $1 billion. Literally. And so now you want my autograph, though. You want to take a picture? You want to take a picture? Like, is that what we doing? And so that's something that does not bother me at all. It's a business relationship. I can play football. You want to be entertained. It's my job. I want to get paid. You got the money. You pay to come watch. Win-win. Cheer, boo, do whatever you want to do. Have no problem with it at all.
Jalen, I want to do something that is, again, irresponsible, but I know it's going to be Clippers-Lakers, right? And we've been talking about this all season long. And you have the Clippers, and I have the Lakers. So we're going to talk about it now. And I'm sure we're going to talk about it on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. It's going to be the biggest thing in sports all next week, all the week after that. The series is finally upon us. Why do you feel that the Clippers will beat the Lakers in a 7-game series?
So I'm going to give you a pod exclusive.
Okay.
That I'll never tell you on TV. Jalen and Jacoby, I don't care if we're on First Take. I don't care if we're on Get Up. But I'm going to tell it to you on the pod. In my heart of hearts, the Lakers should beat the Clippers. The Lakers should beat the Clippers.
What?
If this was a boxing match and I'm hosting the weigh-in, which I've done multiple fights, as the two fighters come out and they get down to their briefs and they get up on the scale, look at these two teams and the versatility of the Lakers roster and their height and ability to now attack the basket and show that they can play a different level of offense while still instituting tall ball in a lot of ways. And now Rondo is giving them quality minutes too. They should beat the Clippers. Paul George has been inconsistent early, but he's gotten going late. He's had like 6-7 good games. Kawhi has been dominant. Zubac is coming on. The Lakers have more to offer as it relates to playing different styles. But since the shotgun style of four players averaging 20 that the Clippers use, I think they're going to be so much better on the perimeter defensively that Rondo don't get 19, dog. And see, like, what people got to realize, it's one thing to make shots when they letting you shoot versus they going to be playing D on you and you got to make the shot. It's way different. Jacoby,
I think that's
am I right? And so what's going to happen is they going to have Kawhi, PG, Beverly picking up Bron 94, turning Rondo, and then now all of a sudden AD ain't gonna be living in the paint. He gonna be on the perimeter because he gonna need to be an outlet. He gonna need to be a secondary initiator, a secondary ball handler. It's gonna take him away for some offensive rebounds. They gonna play JaVale if he's healthy and or Dwight more because they're gonna try to use their physicality more. And then you're going to be wondering, why is Montrezl Harrell still hanging on the rim? Like, how does that keep happening? And Lou Will going to be coming off those pick and rolls. And AD going to be trying to DM. He's going to split them. So, on paper, I get it. Lakers. In my heart, LeBron, 17-year. I want to see it. I want to see it. But I got to roll with the claw, dog. If I had to bet something that meant something to me, I have to go with the Clippers. If everybody helps.
A couple things. We disagree on this, but I could see this going each way. You know what I mean? Like, this is close. But I just want to acknowledge, because we'll be talking about this all next week, so I'm going to save some of my points. But I just want to acknowledge this. I think with KD injured, and we saw what happened to Giannis, we saw what happened to Steph. I really think that best player in the world is at stake in this series. I think if Kawhi goes on to score 30 a game and clean up the Lakers in six games, it's hard not to acknowledge him as the best player wearing sneakers. And if LeBron goes on to do the same, it's hard not to acknowledge him as the best player wearing sneakers. Like, I really think not only is a trip to the finals on the line, the best player playing right now in the NBA is also on the line. That's how I feel about this.
I want to give you an asterisk, fam. No, it isn't. Because you can win the West and lose the championship.
Okay, so that doesn't mean
the deal
if it's
ain't
the Celtics
closed.
Or the Heat. If it's the Celtics, the Raptors, or the Heat, there's no one that's going to unseat Kawhi or LeBron as best player in the world. You see what I'm saying?
I'm just saying.
Jason Tatum ain't going to leapfrog everybody. No one's going to consider Kyle Lowry the best player in the world.
But what makes you king of the court is you beat everybody to come in front of you and you hold up the trophy. And for those 12 months, if you're one of the top players in the game, I'm not talking about when Cedric Maxwell won finals MVP. He wasn't in conversation of one of the best players in the league. Or my brother Chauncey Billups in 2004. Or Iguodala. I'm talking about these elite level players, like you just said, facing off one another in the Western Conference Finals. It's great theater. But I'm going to keep being this guy. And you heard me for 10 years. This need to be the finals. Like, I don't want to see the team out of the East, to be honest with you, yet. Like, to be honest with you, Boston and or the Heat are a year early to be in the finals. I'm going to be the person to say it. That lets you know how fragile the East and wide open that it's been. That one of those teams is going to make the finals. And it also shows how Milwaukee has fallen into a space of friend zone. Regular season team.
Regular season coach, regular season strategy, regular season players.
See, as the founder of a school, I tell anybody that will listen and as a parent, of course your intellect goes into your GPA, but a lot of it is effort showing up every day. You could pass just by doing that. That's the regular season. So the Bucks, you got a two-time MVP just playing hard every night and scoring 30. Guess what? Y'all could have the best record in the league. He's that good. But now it's time to test the IQ. That ain't just your effort. That's the playoffs when these pieces on the chessboard. And I look at the Bucks. They're not athletic. They're not athletic. Who on the Bucks besides Giannis can catch a lob?
Brooke Lopez, because he's 7'6".
No, he can't.
My man, Patty C. Unorthodox. Don't disrespect Patty C. Patty C can catch a lob. He's in a dunk contest.
I know. You're going there with me. So just so you know, Giannis and Lopez, again, I'm going to say this to you. I purposely did that to you. Anybody that know basketball, and you're going to love where I'm going with this, Jacoby. I'm going to say it again. Brooke Lopez, yes, he's 7 foot, but he can't catch a lob because he's unorthodox. He's unorthodox. He's tree trunked. His feet are heavy. He's wearing combat boots out there. He cannot catch a lob. When the last time you see him go up in the air at 7 foot and catch a lob like he Porzingis? Have you seen that? He ain't doing that.
I mean, I've seen it, but it's usually like his man left him and he's standing there all alone. And it's an easy little lob. It's not like he made a cut. You know what I mean?
Right. So those two guys have over 100 dunks clearly this year. I researched this because I was like, dog, these dudes ain't athletic. The person who's third on their team in dunks, Pat Connaughton, had 30. It's 82 games. 30. They're not an athletic team. That's where they have to improve.
We will discuss the full slate of games in the NFL and what's happening in the NBA playoffs and much more on Monday. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
We're not done. We're not done. We're not done.